Our brother read the first 11 verses of Ephesians 1, and I want you to read again with me. The sixth verse, and that's what we're going to zero in on this morning. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church or the believers at Ephesus, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Salvation is all of grace. There's not one work, not one thought or the absence of a thought, not one deed or the absence of a deed done by man or woman that has anything to do with our salvation.
Amen. Amen.
It is absolutely unearned, unmerited love and favor of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is of grace.
Amen.
It started in eternity past by grace.
Amen.
And all through the Old Testament, even under the law, the Ten Commandments were given, and many commandments. In fact, the Bible scholars say that there's at least 365 direct commands given in the Old Testament. But in those commands that God gave to the nation of Israel, he also gave the command to offer sacrifices, which show forth salvation by grace.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ. An innocent animal was to be sacrificed on the altar, a sin offering, which typified the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the laying down of his life as a divinely appointed substitute of God.
Amen.
On behalf of his people.
Amen.
It is of grace that ye are saved. It is all of grace. Let's read on a little bit further. To the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And that's what I want to try to talk to you for a little while this morning, if it's the Lord's will and blesses me. He hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, his will beloved Son. He told them when he spoke from heaven, this is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. And if you're a believer this morning, it's because you have been blessed by God's grace to hear him.
Amen.
It's one thing to hear me or to hear Alan, but if God doesn't speak through his word directly to our hearts, we will never know what it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's his word. He said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whereunto I send it. He's the one that sends it. He's the one that makes it effectual. He's the one that gives the hearing ear to hear it with.
Amen.
All right. Now, by way of introduction to what I'm going to preach this morning, the Lord brought this to my mind. I trust He did. In the Old Testament scriptures, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, is set forth with many, many different names. He's called in one place the angel of the Lord, or the messenger. That's what the word angel means. But there is at least seven distinct names given unto us in the Old Testament, which points to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's well-beloved Son. That I want to just set those before your mind, and then we'll try to look at this particular verse. Number one, He's called Jehovah in the Old Testament. And the word Jehovah means the self-existent one. We sang the song, Jehovah Sitkanu. We're singing about the self-existent one. He has always been. There never has been a time when He did not. He has no beginning and no ending. He is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, having no beginning and no ending. He ever liveth to maketh intercession. He is the self-existing one. He's also Jehovah Shema. The Lord is present. That's what that means. He is present this morning. Right here. He's hearing every word we say, every word we think, every song we sang. He's ever present. He's always present. He's God.
Amen.
Robed in human flesh, but He is God. And in the song that we enjoy singing so often here, Jehovah Sitkanu. He is the Lord our righteousness.
Amen.
We have no righteousness of our own. The only thing that we have by nature born in this world is unrighteousness. We are sinners by nature, by practice, by birth. We are sinners from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. There's no soundness in us at all.
Amen.
And if we have a righteousness that will meet the demands of a thrice holy God, He is it. He is the Lord our righteousness. And then He's called Jehovah Shalom. The Lord our peace. There can be no peace between God and man other than in God's well-beloved Son. He is where God and man are brought together in peace. That's where the reconciliation took place between heaven and mankind. God is angry with the wicked every day, the scripture says. And the only way that that anger and his wrath can be appeased is if a man could walk without sin from the cradle to the grave and then lay down his life, a sinless life, and to have the sins of his people placed upon him and for him to bear away their sins through death on an old rugged cross. He is Jehovah, our peace. God is reconciled unto his people. And through the sovereign work of God the Holy Spirit, we are reconciled unto him.
Amen.
There's peace. No more war. No more arguments on whose will be done in the heart and the mind of a true believer.
Amen.
He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Amen.
Not most things, not some things. He worketh all things. Fifthly, his name is called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide.
Amen.
That's what Abraham turned and looked at Isaac. So he's going up to Mount Moriah to offer an offering unto God. God had already told him, you take Isaac up there and offer him as an offering. And as they rode 3 days out, come to the mountain, Isaac looked at his father Abraham and he said, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the offering? And Abraham turned and looked at that lad and said, Jehovah shall provide himself a lamb. And indeed he did.
Amen.
He provided himself the lamb.
Amen.
Okay. Sixthly, he's called Jehovah Rapha. The Lord that healeth thee. Now I know that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he walked on this earth, he healed many, many people from physical and natural diseases, blindness, a lot of things that he set forth in his earthly ministry. But when he walked up to the tomb of Lazarus, he who had been dead for 4 days, his sister said, he's already stinking. And our Lord spoke the words, Lazarus, come forth. And the scripture says, he that was dead came forth, bound in grave clothes. And the Lord turned around at those men and said, just loose him and let him go. Only he can raise the dead.
Amen.
Naturally and spiritually.
Amen.
He can speak the word, and an absolute hell-deserving sinner becomes willing. In the day of his power. And he sends forth his gospel into that life. And he who once could not hear or see, through the sovereign work of God the Holy Spirit, can now hear God's word as it's preached and see by faith the person of God's dear Son.
Amen.
Jehovah Rapha. He healeth physically and most of all spiritually. Spiritually. And lastly, he's Jehovah Nissa. The Lord, our banner. When you get around and get to talking to religious people, you begin to ask them or talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There's an emptiness in the words concerning Christ in the area of natural religion.
Amen.
They don't know him. That they really don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not given them the ability to see him or to know him or to trust him.
Amen.
But to the one whom God has worked that work of salvation within, he is our banner, the banner of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And no man cometh unto me except my Father which sent me draw him.
Amen.
And the true believer does say, amen.
Amen.
Let it be so. Let it be so. All right, let's look at these words just a few minutes. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. First of all, it says he hath. Not we have. But it's he hath.
Amen.
Salvation is all of God.
Amen.
From beginning to the ending. Our Lord told the disciples, he said, now I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm going to send another comforter, even the Holy Spirit, the one whom God promised Abraham that the Spirit of truth would come. He, all by himself, without any aid from any man except one man, the man Christ Jesus. He hath. And I love the word hath there. It's a past tense. It's not a present tense. And we need to be real thankful that God didn't set that in the present tense. Because if it had been, what these religious people are going around preaching would really be true. I'd have to get up here this morning and tell you just exactly what you need to do in order to be saved. You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. You need to keep on doing this, you need to keep on doing that. And if you don't, what you've got today can be lost tomorrow. But that's not the Bible. That's not what God's Word declares. The Lord Jesus Christ gives eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
And it's not just the longevity of it. It's the quality of it. He who was once deaf and could not hear has heard the voice of Christ in the gospel. And he hears what this world cannot hear. He hears God speak.
Amen.
Through his word.
Amen.
He hath made. I want you to, I don't want to dwell on this a long time, but I want, God is not making us righteous today. He is not making us anything today. He hath made 2,000, over 2,000 years ago, whenever our Lord uttered those words from the cross, "It is finished," that is exactly what he meant.
Amen. Amen.
The whole of the work of salvation, redemption, sanctification, righteousness, the whole of the work was fully accomplished in the person of his well-beloved Son.
Amen.
He put away someone's sins when he died on that cross.
Amen.
He did not die on that cross trying to make everyone savable.
Amen.
He saved his people from their sins.
Amen.
He bore their sins. And in his body on the tree, he fully and finally put away every sin, past, present and future.
Amen.
We bear them no more.
Amen.
Do we still sin? Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what. If you're a believer, that aggravates the fire out of you. If you can live and dwell like the rest of the world, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not in you doing the work that only he can do.
Huh? Amen.
The reason I walk different than the rest of the world is because it's Christ in me. the hope of glory.
Amen.
And if you walk different than the rest of the world, it's the same reason. He is the Savior. We are the ones that have been saved.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's. He hath made us. I want you to turn over with me. We're not going to do a lot of turning, but look at Psalm 14. Paul quotes this again in his writings, but I like to go to Psalms 14. Psalm 14. Beginning verse 1. Here's the us that has been made accepted. Okay? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable things or works. There is none that doeth good. None. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And here's what he saw. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's me, and that's you, and that's every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. All right. That's the us that he hath made accepted. He chose a people before the foundation of this world, made them his own. I like to think of a little story every now and then that I've heard. I know I have shared this here with you before, but it blesses me. I like to tell it. There was a man and a woman. They were childless. They'd been trying for years to have children. And the Lord just had not blessed them to have children. So they kept talking, and they decided that they would adopt a child. So they went down. There was a place in their town where they... orphans and young babies were brought there, left. They were placed up for adoption. So they got in the car and they drove down and pulled up in front of the orphanage. And as they pulled up, they noticed on the sidewalk playing there a little red-headed guy. His name was Johnny. Little red-headed Johnny. And they got out of the car and they walked over, and the man looked at little Johnny and he said, "Hello, son." That little red-headed feller kicked his shin till the blood come out of it. Then he bit him. The man was peaceful and quiet. Patted him on the head, and him and his wife went on in. lady met them. She took them through and showed them all the newborn babies that was in there, laying there so sweet and so pretty, dressed and smelt so good. And they picked them up and handled them and everything. And went on a little while. They left. They told the woman, said, "We need to go home and pray about this." Said, "We'll be back in a week. Tell you which one we want." She said, "Okay." They went home and prayed and prayed and prayed. Next week come around and they come back to the orphanage. There was little Johnny out playing on the sidewalk. Little red-headed Johnny. They got out, started into the orphanage, and little Johnny ran over, kicked that man's shins again until they bled. Bit him again. He turned around, looked at his wife, and she looked at him. They went on in. Lady said, "Well, if you made up your mind which one you want?" "Yeah. Yeah, we have." She said, "Which one of these babies do you want?" Said, "We don't want a baby." Said, "That little red-headed fellow that met us out front." She said, "You mean the one that kicked your shins till the blood run out and bit you and everything?" He said, "Yeah. That's the one we want."
Amen.
Well, that's the same way God picked me and you out too. We're that little red-headed Johnny. We're mean to the bone. We're God-haters by nature. But God adopted us in the person of his son and placed us in his family. Unearned, unmerited love and favor of God.
Amen.
Saved by grace and grace alone. We have been made accepted. In ourselves? No. No, we haven't been made any more accepted in ourselves than we were when we first began. We've been made accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
That's where God the Father chose us. That's where it all began. And in time, he approaches us. Some of us when we're teenagers. Some of us when we're young adults. Some of us when we're old and worn out like I am. But God has an appointed time. Has had from all eternity. When he sends forth his Holy Spirit with the sovereign word of God. And it accomplishes that whereunto he sends it.
Amen.
And he brings a hell-deserving sinner to repent, to turn from sin and self-righteousness, to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brings that person to bow to the sovereign rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
He's God's well beloved. He hath made us accepted. Now I want you to notice that word accepted. It does not say acceptable. You're not a work in progress when it comes to salvation. God didn't start on you, and now you're trying to do the rest to make yourself worthy to be called one of His. No. Paul didn't misquote this. He didn't miswrite this. He said, "You have been made accepted." It's not something in the future, not something we're working on. It took place whenever Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree and put away every sin and put the wedding garment on us. We have been made in Christ to be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish.
Amen.
Within ourselves, we're still a hell-deserving sinner.
Amen.
But we have been made accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
All right, I want you to look at just a few scriptures. I'm not going to wear you out. How accepted are we? Turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. This is the Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17. Begin our reading in verse 21. John 17, 21. That they, that's the us back in our text, that they all may be one. As Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us. That the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. We've been made so accepted through the sovereign work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are one in the family of God. We're not an outsider looking in. We're already seated in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. We've been accepted in the Beloved. Our sins are gone. Peace has been declared. No more war between the believer and God. What He says in His Word is exactly what they believe.
Amen.
No arguments anymore. Christ is sovereign. They say amen. He saved His people. Amen. It's not by our will. Amen. It's by His will. Amen. All right, let's look at another one here. Look at 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians Chapter 5. This is a very familiar passage. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, we're back to our text again. For he hath made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his death on the cross, fully and finally paid our debt in full. Amen. We bear it no more. And he earned a righteousness which is laid to the account of every one of God's elect. Amen. We are accepted because we are righteous in the Beloved. He is the Lord our righteousness. Look over at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 10. By the which will, that is God's will, we are sanctified. We are set apart and declared to be holy. That's what the word sanctified means. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Let's read on. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. The Old Testament sacrifices never took away a sin from the people. It stayed God's wrath for a period of a year until the next offering was to be made for sin. Looking toward the coming of the seed that was promised unto Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Savior of sinners. Let's read on a little bit. Verse 12. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He didn't make an attempt to save his people from their sins. He offered one sacrifice forever. And he perfected all for whom He laid down his life and shed his blood for.
Amen.
How accepting am I? Perfectly. Yeah. One more. Back to our text, Hebrews chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. How accepted are we? Perfectly. Righteously. In verse 13 now, listen. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
You want to know how nigh we've been brought to the Lord Jesus Christ? We're one with the Father and the Son.
Amen.
That's hugging close. That's kissing close. We've been made nigh because we've been made accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
And if you ever see what it's like inside of glory, it'll be because He hath made us accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
May God bless His word.
He already has.